I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On behalf of the session of the church, I want to greet all of you a very, very happy and blessed Christmas. And may the new year be a great blessing to you also. May the new year be a year in which you sense the closeness of the Lord. And may His joy and His peace be upon you. Now this morning, our message is Christ the Everlasting Father, Christ the Son of God. Now He is also known as the Everlasting Father. Isaiah 9:6, the verse that we read earlier on, we shall read it afterwards. Now, Christ the Everlasting Father. Now I'd like you to imagine for a moment that you are a very reputable medical doctor with a very successful practice, a very successful career, and you also have a very beautiful family, but you are also very interested in anthropology. And so you decide to go on an expedition with this group of people to go up the Amazon River. The whole purpose is to try to discover a tribe that has never been discovered before. And then you are not disappointed. You manage to find such a community. And you see that these people are really a very joyful people, people who are very fun-loving and a very peaceful people. They look at you with curiosity, but not with suspicion. But you also sense that there is a kind of sadness among them. Why that kind of sadness? Now, there is that sadness among them because there are no old males among them. Yes, no males beyond the age of 30 or maybe around 30 or so. All of them die very young. Now you feel very, very sorry for these people because of this sadness. And you say, I want to do something to help them. I want to find a cure for them. And so you think about it. But you have to realize, of course, that you have got a very, very successful medical practice. You've done very, very well. You've got a very beautiful family. And then you have to make this decision to live among them for a time so that you will be able to discover the cause of this disease to help these people. Now, would you make such a move to be with such a people to live among them? Now, such a move is, of course, unthinkable. Yes, we say it happens only in fiction. It doesn't happen in real life. But friends, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did much, 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 much more than that. He did something that is really way beyond our imagination. He did something that was absolutely unthinkable. He is the one true living God. Let's understand, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the one true living God from eternity past. He dwells in eternity. He created the whole wide universe, and He created this capsule known as time. And then He placed man in time, in this capsule. And the man is supposed to be, or was supposed to be, very, very happy to be in this, living in this capsule. Yes, he was also supposed to live happily. But man rebelled against God because he wanted to be like the one true living God himself. He wanted to be God. He sinned against God, and as a result of that, he has to die. And he has to die because of sin. This very, very fatal disease called sin. And when he dies physically, again he leaves this capsule called time, and he enters into eternity. And he enters into eternity in which he will be tormented day and night for all eternity in the lake of fire. And that's the truth, my dear friends. These are not words that I imagine, but words that come out from the truth that comes out from the Word of God. But God hates sin, but He loves men. Yes, He loves us. He wants to save man from his sin. And for Him to do that, He has to become man. God has to become man. He has got to take on human flesh. He has got to enter into this capsule called time and become man. And then die in the place of man, in order that He may be able to save man. And that precisely was what He did. And that's why we are here to celebrate Christmas. My dear friends, God entered into time in the form of a little baby. Now, The Word of God tells us this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. All right? Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. The verse that we read earlier on, or the verses that we read earlier on, verses 7 and 8, I read for you these two verses. Okay. But made himself of no reputation. Now, the him here refers to Jesus Christ, the one true living God. Remember, he's the one true living God. Don't forget. Made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. My dear friends, our Lord and Savior, the everlasting Father, entered into time. Now this morning, I'd like us to consider this topic. Christ, the everlasting Father, and he entered into time. And Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 have this for us. I'd like us to please turn to the Word of God. Isaiah, I don't have this printed here, but it's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, turn to Isaiah first. Yes, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. I read these verses for you. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I'd like us to consider 3 points this morning as we consider this topic, Christ the Everlasting Father. First of all, the Everlasting Father entering to time, something which I have touched upon already. Then secondly, the Everlasting Father subjecting himself to time. And then finally, our entering into eternity from time. The Everlasting Father entering to time. Now this Everlasting Father is also called the child, is also the child that is born, the son that is given in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. He is the child that is born and he is the son that is given. And he is the one whose name is also called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, and the Prince of Peace, along with the name the Everlasting Father. Now, let us understand that Jesus is not God the Father. He is the Everlasting Father, but he's not God the Father. In the Holy Trinity, there are three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God the Father is not God the Son. God the Son is not God the Father. Let's understand this very, very clearly. So what is meant by everlasting Father? What it means is that Jesus is the Father of eternity. That's what it means. Everlasting Father means he's the Father of eternity. Now in the Hebrew language, there are similar expressions, such as the Father of strength, which means that the person is very, very strong. The Father of glory, which means that the person is very, very glorious. The Father of peace, in other words, he's a very, very peace-loving person, a very peaceable person, one who likes to make peace. So he's known as the Father of peace. So here we have the everlasting Father, or the Father of eternity. Jesus is the Father of eternity, which of course means that he is eternal. And we might say, everlastingness owes its existence to his fatherhood. That's what it means. Everlastingness owes its existence to his fatherhood. Now, let us see first that Jesus, the everlasting Father, entered into time through the womb of a virgin. And he must necessarily do so. He must enter into time through the womb of a virgin. Why? Because it was prophesied in Holy Scripture that that must happen. That's why. And so we read in the Old Testament again in the book of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Alright, you see this prophecy made years ago. In fact, 700 years before the event actually took place. Yes, the prophet Isaiah made this prophecy concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 7:14. I read for you. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Yes, he shall be called Emmanuel. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So, my dear friends, you see that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Virgin Mary was already prophesied 700 years before the event took place. So, the Lord Jesus Christ must necessarily be born of the Virgin Mary, because it was prophesied that he would be born of a virgin. And so in time, in the fullness of time, in fulfillment of the prophecy, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So the word of God tells us. Then, after he entered into time, after he was conceived of the Virgin Mary, he must necessarily make his appearance, right? He must make his appearance as a baby. And where should he make his appearance at? My dear friends, he must make his appearance in the city of Bethlehem. Why in the city of Bethlehem, of all places? My dear friends, he was to make his appearance as a baby in the city of Bethlehem because it was prophesied that he will make his appearance there. Now, how do you know that there was such a prophecy? Yes, the word of God says so. I'd like us to turn to Micah, the book of Micah 5:2. Micah, one of the minor prophets, Micah 5:2. You will see that this prophecy was made also about 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Micah. Micah 5:2. All right, let me read this verse for you. Micah 5:2. Okay, Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, which city is referred to here? The city of Bethlehem. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, in other words, among the thousands of cities in Judah, you are chosen. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So you see, the Lord Jesus Christ necessarily had to be born in the city of Bethlehem because it was prophesied that he would be born there. And not notice who he is. He is the one whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And this, of course, means that the being of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is eternal. And see how this prophecy that he was to be born in the city of Bethlehem was fulfilled. It was not coincidental, friends. Caesar Augustus, the emperor of Rome, made a decree. And the decree was that a census should be taken. And for the census to be taken, all the people in the Roman Empire had to go back to the home of their ancestors, to the city of their ancestors. Now, Joseph was a descendant of the great King David. And therefore, he had to go back to the city of the great King David. And David, we know, was a Bethlehemite. In other words, David was born in the city of Bethlehem. So Joseph, being a descendant of David, had no choice but to go to the city of Bethlehem. And so he packed up from the north, from Nazareth in the Galilean region, went south with his heavily pregnant wife, Mary, and went to the city of Bethlehem. And there she brought forth her firstborn son, Jesus. Now, friends, this was no coincidence. Yes, no coincidence. It was not an accident. But it was by God's providence that Jesus should be born in the city of Bethlehem. He must be born there, necessarily, because it was prophesied in Old Testament that he must be born in the city of Bethlehem. Then look at the prophecy concerning his death on the cross of Calvary. Yes, look at that. Yes, the prophecy concerning his death. I'd like us to look at Psalm 22. Please turn to Psalm 22. See how he must die, all right? how he, the way he must die. Psalm 22 and verse 16. Psalm 22 and verse 16, let me read this verse for you. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierce my hands and my feet. Did you read those words? They pierce my hands and my feet. Friends, this is a description of the crucifixion. And don't forget, my dear friends, this prophecy was made about a thousand years before the event actually took place. Yes. So why was the Lord Jesus Christ crucified? Why didn't he die by any other way, but by crucifixion? Now, he died by crucifixion because it was prophesied that he would die by crucifixion, according to Holy Scriptures. Then concerning Christ's resurrection, we have this prophecy given to us in the book of Psalms again, Psalm 16 and verse 10. Look at the prophecy concerning his resurrection. Psalm 16 and verse 10. The word of God says here, For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Yes, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. The word hell here does not necessarily mean the place where the souls of wicked people are tormented. Not necessarily. All right, the word hell here simply means the place where the departed spirits would go, the grave is the gate. So you might read it in this manner. For thou wilt not leave my soul in the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ did not remain in the grave. God did not allow him to remain in the grave. God resurrected him. The Father resurrected him. Neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Yes, his body didn't decay. He rose up from the dead. So his resurrection was also prophesied in the Old Testament. And so his resurrection must necessarily occur. Now what do the Lord's entering into time and his fulfilling prophecy tell us? They tell us this, friends, that all prophecies made in the Word of God must be fulfilled, and they must be fulfilled to the very letter. His virgin birth has been fulfilled. The place where he was born, was also fulfilled. He was born in the city of Bethlehem. How he was going to die? By crucifixion. It has also been fulfilled. His resurrection has also been fulfilled. Now what about prophecies that are not fulfilled yet? Will they be fulfilled, my dear friends? Those prophecies that are not fulfilled. As the prophecies that have been fulfilled, those prophecies that are not fulfilled yet will surely be fulfilled. What about the prophecy concerning his second coming? Will it be fulfilled? The answer is yes. It will be fulfilled. Definitely will be fulfilled. Now this celebration of Christmas, my dear friends, would be very meaningless to us. Completely meaningless if we do not realize that the event of Christmas, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, was in fulfillment of prophecy. And it will be meaningless, my dear friends, if we do not realize that the happenings concerning Jesus occurred or will occur in fulfillment of prophecies. We must all recognize that God is always true to his word. Jesus will definitely come again. And this time, he will not come as a babe. And this time, he will come as the King of Kings. He will come as the Lord of Lords. And he will come to judge. Yes, he will come to judge the world. The big question for all of us to answer is this. Will you have been saved from this judgment to come and the wrath to come? My dear friends, will that be the case with you? Make this Christmas very, very meaningful for yourself, my dear friends, by making sure that you will have been saved from the judgment to come when he comes. How, my dear friends? By trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Have him in your heart. Have him as your Savior. And you will have been saved from the judgment to come when he comes. Next, I'd like us to see that the Lord Jesus Christ, the everlasting Father, humbled himself, and then he subjected himself to time. So some years ago, I remember this incident happening in my company, the company that I work for. There was this new American boss who came to join the company. Yes, he was new, and all the bosses before him were always seen as people who were very high and mighty. And we could never ever imagine the big boss coming to the level of the shop floor employees in the company. Now the first year this boss came, I remembered his participating in a party game at our annual company function. And something I never saw other bosses doing before him. Now unfortunately for him, that day he participated in that game and he was the loser in the game. And as a result of which, he had to do a forfeit. Did he or did he not do the forfeit? He did the forfeit. He had to make a fool of himself. All right, he had to go onto the floor in the dance floor of the hotel restaurant, and made a fool of himself. Yes, were the employees very appreciative of what he did? Yes or no? Yes, very appreciative. All the employees, particularly the shop floor employees, were very, very impressed by the behavior of this big boss. You know what was their conclusion about this big boss? He said, this fellow is a very humble fellow. He's willing to come down to our level. My dear friends, that action of that big boss of mine was seen as humility. But look at the humility, my dear friends. Look at the humility of the everlasting Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, one who was not bound by time. Remember this. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. Is omnipresent, yet he entered into this little thing called time, entered into the time capsule and subjected himself to time by taking on human flesh. Look at this passage again, my dear friends, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. I'd like us to see the humility of this one true living God, the everlasting Father, entering into time. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. We read, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What it means is this, Jesus thought of himself as God. And when he thought of himself as God, he never thought it as infringing on somebody else's right, when he thought that way, because he was God, because he is God. But he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He made himself of no reputation. Now let's be very, very clear, my dear friends, that he entered into time. And for a time he emptied himself of his heavenly glory. His outward manifestation as God was for a time withdrawn. So when people look at the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw him as a man because his heavenly glory was withdrawn. He was made in the likeness of man. He was every inch a man, except that he did not sin, except that he was perfectly sinless. And he took on the form of a servant. Now the servant here is not the way we understand what a servant is today. The servant here means a slave. Yes, he took on the form of a slave. He was not just a servant of God. He occupied the most lowly position when he came to this earth, when he entered into time. Friends, he took on the form of a son of a very poor carpenter. Yes, and he condescended to perform such acts as appropriate only to servants. Now think of that big boss again that I talked to you earlier on. Yes, let's say he did something that is very, very unusual. All right, he decided that for a month, just for 1 month, he would become a shop floor employee. He would put on the blue uniform and he would take on the most lowly position because he wanted to feel what it was like to be a shop floor employee. So he put on that blue uniform, and then he received not a big boss's salary, but the salary of a shop floor employee. Now, we say, that's impossible, unthinkable. But friends, again, I want to stress this. The Lord did something that was far, 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 far greater than that, far, far, far more than that. the everlasting Father, entered into time, friends, and then took on himself the form of a slave. In the capsule of time, he was obedient. Obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross, which was the greatest service that he did for man and he did to man. Now let us see that his obedience was of two kinds. First, it was active, and the other one is passive. Now look at his active obedience. He came and he obeyed the laws of God. The laws that he created, he came and he subjected himself to those laws. And he obeyed those laws perfectly. For what purpose, my dear friends? For our sake, your sake and my sake. We could never ever obey the laws of God perfectly. But the Lord Jesus Christ came and obeyed the laws perfectly on our behalf in order that he might save us. Then look at his passive obedience. He went to the cross for us. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He went to the cross meekly. You see this verse here in the last page, Isaiah 53 verse 7. All right, let's read that verse together. All of us now, go. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. That was how passive he was when he obeyed God to go to the cross for us. And then in the time capsule, he hanged on the cross for us. And during those hours that he was on the cross, he bore your sins, he bore my sins. The word of God tells us that on him was laid the iniquity of us all. Look at verse 6. You look at verse 6, 53, Psalm Isaiah 53 and verse 6. The verse preceding the one that we just read. All right? In the same, in the program sheet. Let's read together. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Friends, he bore our sins. Your sins, my sins. He hang there to pay for your sins and to pay for my sins. Now in the capsule of time, he actually shed his precious blood for us. In the capsule of time, he actually died and he was buried. And then on the third day, he rose up from the dead. He raised himself up from the dead by his own power, by his own strength. He said, I have the power to lay down my life. I have the power to take it up again. And so he took it up again. By his resurrection, he showed that he has conquered death for us. And through his death and through his resurrection, he moved triumphantly and bodily out of the time capsule into eternity. And as he rose up from the dead, my dear friends, all those of us who die in the Lord Jesus Christ will one day rise up with him. Yes, one day we will also move out of time in the same manner, bodily. So what did the Lord Jesus Christ come into this time capsule for? He did so to become man so that he could die for the sins of men, so that he could pay for the sins of men, so that now God can freely forgive us without violating his justice. Did you know that God could not have forgiven us if our sins had not been paid for? Now, if he forgave us, if our sins were not paid for, then God would be very unjust because our sins had not been paid for. So someone had to pay for our sins. And Jesus entered into the time capsule to pay for our sins. So now God can freely and justly forgive us of our sins. Thank God the Lord entered into the time capsule to do just that, to save us from our sins. Now, this is Christmas time. Why not make this Christmas the time that you will remember, not just for now, but for all eternity? Come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repent from your sins. Trust in his precious blood to save you. And by so doing, my dear friends, you will have everlasting life. One day when you leave this time capsule, you'll be entering into eternity. And this life will continue. This life will not be bound by time. It will continue because it is everlasting life, not subjected to time. Now the question is, why did the everlasting Father enter into the time capsule? Why? Why did Jesus enter into the time capsule? The answer is given to us in the Word of God, John 3:16. We all know that verse. Let's say it together, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, He entered into this time capsule because of love. He loved us. Now those of us who have trusted Him already, do you really love Him in return? I'm speaking to believers now, those who have trusted Jesus. Do you love Him in return? Do we really love Him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength? Do we? A man asked his girlfriend, do you love me, darling? And then the girl said, yes, of course I do, I love you. Yes. Then the girl in return asked the man, do you love me? And he said, yes, darling, of course, I love you very much. I love you with all my heart. The girlfriend then said to him, I'll see you tomorrow. Will you see me? And the man said, yes, I see you if it doesn't rain. My dear friends, he might as well say, I'll see you if I have the time. Now, what kind of love is that, my dear friends? Yes, but that's the kind of so-called love we show to our Lord, who entered into time to die for us. We don't say it to Him, but by the way we relate with Him, the way we do so is as if we are saying, Lord, I will serve you. I will serve you only if I have the time. Look at how we behave. No time for quiet time. No time for Bible study. No time for prayer meeting. No time for visitation. No time for His service. No time to please Him. But think of this truth, my dear friends. Our Lord entered into time from eternity. How can we say that we have no time for Him? Friends, let's make time for Him. Make time. Let's buy back time. Redeem the time for Him and use that time for Him and for His glory. Use that time to serve Him diligently. Now, let's think soberly of this great truth. We have our time here. But this time on this earth will come to an end. And we will be entering into eternity. Whether you like it or not, your time on this earth will come to an end and you will be entering into eternity. But somehow, we are able to put this truth, the truth that our time here is limited and we must enter into eternity, in some very, very obscure corner in our mind. As we go about our daily business, with all the cares of the world, we seem to be able to suppress this truth. And this truth seems to be very, very unreal to us. I think, my dear friends, it pays for us to make a visit to the cemetery now and then. And then you will see on the tombstones something very, very clearly stated. The starting date and the ending date, and the dash in between the 2 days. Yes, and the dash is the time that we spend on this earth for our life, on this earth. It's not a long time. For some it's just a few days. For some it's a few weeks. For some it's a few months. For some it's a few years. But for most people, it will be 70 years, or slightly more than that, 70 years. And then if you were to examine those who live beyond that, up to 80 years or so, very often we'll see that their life is but labor and sorrow. Isn't it very true? Yes. But the point is this, what do we do during the years between the 2 days, the starting date and the ending date? What do we do during those years? For the young people, the Word of God is very clear. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Give all your strength, your youthful strength, your youthful energy unto the Lord before the evil days come. The evil days here refer to the years of old age, when we do not have the same kind of strength that we used to have, when we are very, very much vulnerable to sicknesses and illnesses and all kinds of weaknesses. Yes. Today, your sports heroes, of course, appear to be very strong and powerful and very athletic, right? We have all our sports heroes, very strong, very powerful, very athletic. But in 40, 50 years' time, you look at them again, they will be nothing but crooked, bent over old men. And that's true. One of my sports heroes, I think I told you before, is Muhammad Ali. Perhaps the greatest boxing heavyweight champion ever. When he was at his peak, he said, "I'm the prettiest thing that ever that puts on boxing gloves." And that was what he said. "I am the prettiest thing that ever put on boxing gloves." And he said, "When I fight, I float like a butterfly and I sting like a bee." I can tell you it was no exaggeration. I love to watch him fight. And nowadays I still turn on the YouTube, you know, and watch Muhammad Ali fight. The way he fought, it was so graceful, so beautiful. But, and those words were not boastful words. But I can tell you that today he's no longer the same. 69 years old and he suffers from Parkinson's. He can't even walk properly, let alone float like a butterfly. The Miss Universe today will be a shrunken old woman in 40, 50 years' time. Or a fat blob, either one. Yes, because of the wear and tear of time and because of the effect of inactivity. Friends, we are not going to be here forever. Understand this truth. How sure are we that we are going to be here next Christmas? How sure are we? Our life is so short. It is like the wild grass in the field. In the morning, they flower. By evening, they are mowed down and then they wither away. And the Word of God tells us this: "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath." We spend our years as a tale that is told. We spend our years like a story that is told. I think I told you this before. When I was a kid in primary school, one of the periods I loved most was story time. I delighted very much to hear my teacher tell us stories. But the story time always seemed so short. Yes, we are so intent in listening to the story, so absorbed. But then so quickly the story came to an end. That's how short life is, my dear friends. We spend our years as a tale that is told. So recognize these truths. We have only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Friends, think for Christ. Act for Christ. Do for Christ. Soon we will be leaving this time capsule and we will be entering into eternity. And it is only all those things that we did for the Lord Jesus Christ that will count for eternity. Christ, the everlasting Father, entered into time. Yes, he entered into time from eternity. He is the everlasting Father, and he did so in fulfillment of prophecies. He was born of a virgin, according to prophecy. He was born in the city of Bethlehem, in accordance to prophecy. He was crucified on the cross, according to prophecy. He resurrected from the dead, according to prophecy. My dear friends, he will come again, and he will come again according to prophecy. The question is, will we be ready to meet him when he comes again? Christ, the everlasting Father, subjected himself to time. He was made in the likeness of man so that he could die and to save us from our sins. He did that because he loved us. My dear friends, if we haven't trusted in him yet, this Christmas, why don't we come and trust in him as Lord and Savior? Recognize that he did not just die for anyone else. Recognize this truth. He died personally for me and for me. He died on the cross for me. He came and for me. He came and died for me. He rose up from the dead, not for just anyone, but for me. My dear friends, if you recognize this truth that he died for you, he rose up from the dead for you, you have already trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you recognize this truth, my dear friends, now the question for us is this. If time ends for us today, or if time ends for me today, where will I spend eternity? In heaven or in hell? I think we all need to settle this very, very all-important question before the day is out. Remember, Christmas time is the time when God sent his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to die for us in accordance to prophecy. This morning, if you remember this truth, and come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have this question very, very assuredly answered. You will not be spending eternity in hell, but in heaven. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the everlasting Father, who entered into time from eternity for one purpose, and that is to take on human flesh, to come in the form of a servant, and to die this death on the cross of Calvary for us. Father, we pray that we may all be very appreciative of this truth and believe this truth. And we pray for those who are still outside your kingdom and who do not have salvation yet. Father, help them to understand the true meaning of Christmas and cause them to come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior today by your grace. And Father, we thank you for the friends that we have today. We pray that as we mingle with them, we pray that we may be able to share the joy of Christmas with them. We pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.